Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
It was a snowy Monday, and now is a snowy Tuesday. And if you listened to the show yesterday, you heard me trying to orchestrate rides home from school for the kids because school was closing early. And guess what? They're all at home. A snow day for everyone else, maybe even a snow day for you, but not here. Not here on the Annie Fry Show. We are covering the news as it happens. At 1 o'clock today, the president has said that he is going to give an announcement from the Oval Office. We still don't know 100% what it is for. We aren't 100% sure what the announcement is going to be about, but we're going to cover it here. So make sure that you are listening here at 1 o'clock, and we'll bring you the president from the White House live. There's a lot of things that he could be discussing. At 1 o'clock, there are a lot of different angles that this announcement could take. And Lord knows if it's intended for one particular announcement, it often will move into another direction. And so we will cover it as it happens right here on 97.1 FM Talk St. Louis Conservative. They are having a cabinet meeting right now. And President Trump started the cabinet meeting. I think it was scheduled to start at 10:30. And I think it started pretty close to that. He probably talked for an hour. He probably gave an hour's long dissertation about this is the ninth cabinet meeting that they have. And in the midst of nine cabinet meetings in 2025, which is pretty impressive if you consider how many cabinet meetings did you get to observe Joe Biden giving you an update on, these are televised cabinet meetings. Of course, they're probably having some conversations that exist outside of the cameras and that are flooding in this room. But did you see a lot of this from Joe Biden? President Trump made this point several times today in listening to him go over the different things that have happened this year, the things he's proud of, the accomplishments that they've had. And he talks about if President Biden went months without doing something like this, forever without doing a press conference, nobody said anything about it. Nobody complained about the president not being available to people. When Donald Trump goes one day without having some sort of press interaction, people freak out and they start saying, oh, I don't know if he's as sharp as he used to be. There's something wrong with him. And ironically, he says at one point during this meeting, he's like, listen, one day there's going to be something wrong. And when that something is wrong, I'll tell you, which I thought was kind of funny and actually maybe a little macabre. But also at the same time, true, he is 79 years old. He'll turn 80 right before our country turns 250. And he's saying, yeah, listen, I understand there's going to come a time where we're going to get to that point where something is going on that I need to pay attention to. And when that happens, I'll tell you. He says that. So he's speaking today from the cabinet room in the White House. And he starts talking about different sorts of accomplishments that they've had over the year. And there are quite a lot of them. This guy remembers them. He's got his spiel. He goes through his, his thing that you've heard. The amount of times that he said today, think about that. Think about it. Think about that. He says that over and over and over again. He also says, nobody thought we could do it. After every point, every accomplishment, he says, nobody thought we could do it. Think about it. And then he gives you some sort of statistic. But the president gave himself a few marks as he went through the list of accomplishments of the administration so far. And we're asking you to give the president marks today on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. If you go to the live broadcast right now at youtube.com/@AnnieFry, you can grade the president. Our standard AF grading scale, A, B/C, D, or F. We only get four options. Otherwise, we'd do all five. But here's a president giving himself a little bit of a grade.
By the way, I took my physical. I got all A's, everything. But they said to me, would you like to take a cognitive test? I said, is it hard? They said, yes. I said, well, I'm a very smart person. Who was the last president to take one? No president has ever agreed to take one. Because when you get into the mid questions, meaning, you know, 10, question number 10, 11, 12, 28, 30, they get harder and harder. And they said, would you like to do it? I said, well, no reason to do it. Nobody's ever done it. I'll do it maybe, but there's really no reason. They said, sir, the problem is this is Walter Reed Hospital. And that's a military hospital. And that means that things are, you know, sort of open. It's not like private where you have, if you do poorly, you'll find out. I said, I won't do poorly. I'm a smart person, not a stupid person. And as the doctor will tell you, I aced it. Right, Susie? I aced. I got every question right. And these are tough questions. These are questions that I would say 99% of the people that I'm talking to right now, meaning the people that, from the fake news, would not do well in those exams.
So there you have President Trump speaking at the cabinet meeting, and he gives himself really high marks on his medical exam. Just yesterday, they released the documentation from the MRI that was given to the president multiple times on Air Force One. President Trump is he's asked the question about the MRI. Why was that MRI given? Why? What were the results of that? What were they looking for? What was the concern? What prompted the MRI? He basically said, I'm an old man at one point. He's like, I'm 79. They wanted to look at standard procedure. I don't even know what they were looking for. And the results of the MRI were that they were looking at his heart and his abdomen. And the reason they were doing that is because people of his age can show certain signs of different types of things. And they wanted to give it a look-see. And it wasn't on his brain, which is really, really a problem for the people on the left. I guess if they would have done it on his brain, they would have proved that he had one. And then they'd be wrong about that. So the president, on his health report, he gets A's. He said he got all A's. I do think that the president has over and over and over again shown the American people that he can show up for the job, which the standards, the level of expectation that we are coming into from the previous administration, that in and of itself is an accomplishment. He shows up and he does the job. Now, he might not be doing the things that you love, but then again, you probably didn't vote for him. I don't hear a lot of people in my life who support Trump who are looking at Donald Trump and saying, what is he doing? Where is this coming from? I think the biggest shock is probably from people who voted for him who are like, gosh, dang it, he's actually doing it. He's actually out there going through and fulfilling the commitments that he said that he would do when he was campaigning to be the president once again. So if you voted for him, if he persuaded you on the campaign trail, I think the majority of people are looking at him right now going, this is what I voted for. It's kind of a meme on social media. Like, there's people on the left and they're like, attention Trump supporters, did you really vote for this? And then you look at the comments, everyone's like, yeah, this is definitely what I voted for. In fact, he could put the pedal to the metal a little bit more. That might be you, that might be not. The criticisms that I wonder if we're going to hear from the YouTube live chat is, I'm curious how many of you said, no, I don't think he's doing enough yet. I'm going to give him a B/C because I don't think that he is accomplishing what he set out to do fast enough. It's hard for me to look at this presidency, everything that he has been up against, everything that has been thrown in his path, the obstacle after obstacle after obstacle that are built with bricks of lies from the deceitful deceptive left, the deceptive media that has partnered with Donald Trump in this regard. Why is it, after all of these this time, that he's still able to have certain levels of success? He's still able to have accomplishments to fulfill the things that he has said that he was going to target, with the border being really number one. The border issue and immigration issue during the election, that was a key issue. That was an 80-20 issue at minimum for the president. And the left completely and totally lost their way with the American people on that particular issue. Donald Trump said basic things that made very, very common sense to the American people when it came to securing our border, saying, yeah, as a country, as a sovereign nation, yeah, maybe we should have a border. Yeah, obviously. Obviously. And it's obvious to you and it's obvious to me. And there are a lot of people who didn't vote for Donald Trump who still want to have the border secure. There are just other issues that they prioritize in their list of policy points that they couldn't vote for Donald Trump because of X, Y, and Z, or because they hate him so much. They think he's the boogeyman because he's been made out to be a boogeyman in the closet. And you all know about the boogeyman, right? In there. It doesn't exist. He's the monster that you manufacture in your nightmares, that lives behind a closed door in your bedroom, that you lay in bed and you fret over and you open the door and it's not there. What do you do then? Are you still scared? You probably still have a little PTSD from years of thinking that that boogeyman is going to jump out of the closet door and attack you in the middle of the night in your sleep, but you realize he's not even there. You don't overnight get over the trepidation of what that closed door looks like in the dark with the moonlight hitting it just right, right over the door handle. You don't get over that right away. You need mom or dad or somebody, brother or sister, to come in and open the door and be like, look, there's nothing there. And then eventually you go, oh my gosh, there is nothing there. What have I been wasting my time and emotion on? Here's one more clip from the president today at the cabinet meeting, giving himself a little bit of a grade.
By the way, I took my physical. I got all A's, everything. But they said to me, would you like to take a cognitive test? I said, is it hard? They said, yes. I said, well, I'm a very smart person. Who was the last president to take one? No.
So that's the clip we already played. But he goes on to talk about his physical health. He takes the cognitive test. He aces it. He gets the physical done with his medical professionals. They ace it. He's done great. He's physically up for the job. And you can tell because he shows up and he's fulfilling the promises that he made to the American people. Is he done with all of them? No, not necessarily quite yet. But it's been 10 months. This guy is knocking the ball out of the park. That's if you ask me. And if you're listening to the show, you kind of asked me. I want to ask you, though. I want to know from you how you feel about President Trump's second term so far. We're not even all the way through the first year. We got a couple months left for the first year. How do you feel? Give it a grade. A, B slash C, D or F. And leave us a comment as to why you voted the way you did. Chris says, I voted A, border being the main reason why. Other items like trade, tariffs, bringing more companies into the United States. Ripper said, I said B slash C, great on the border, D minus dealing with Putin so far. Not sure about the tariffs. Well, I sure hope, my hope is that the 1 o'clock Oval Office address from President Trump has something to do with the Russia situation. That would be a very lofty expectation. We don't know exactly what he's going to bring to the American people at one, but we will cover it here. And my dear friend, met him at the White House. I'm going to call him my dear friend. Link Lorne is going to be with us when we return here on the Annie Fry Show. I'm going to ask him, from somebody who's been up close and personal watching President Trump work in the White House, what kind of grade does he give him? We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So we are asking you on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll today to grade the president's second term so far. There's a lot of very polarizing issues that President Trump has gone headfirst into. I would definitely say this man has not backed down from any of the things that he said he was going to do. And you remember back in when the conversation was Epstein files, Epstein files, Epstein files. It was like the make or break. And the left was pushing during the government shutdown. They were pushing hard, like, you have to release the Epstein files. You have to do it. And then in a bipartisan vote, Congress decided, yeah, we'll release the Epstein files. President Trump signed off on it. Now you don't hear anything about that anymore. It's in the midst of a process where the Epstein files have to be prepared to be released to the public, which means that there are going to be some victim names that are going to be redacted, potentially some means and sources that are potentially going to be redacted. I don't know how significant the redactions are going to be, but you have a situation where the main issue of the left for quite some time was essentially Epstein files, where's the list? Release the list. We want it now. Okay, so that was done. Now what's the left screaming about? There was an ex post that I read online, I think it was last night, and it was somebody who was saying that they had a conversation. I think it was Insurrection Barbie. I want to give credit where credit is due on X. And she was talking about having a conversation with her friend. And she said the two of them had been friends since junior high. And her friend on the left, Barbie on the right. And they started talking about politics because politics generally end up coming up that way. And while they're talking about politics, it naturally goes to the person on the left is just going over and over again how everything is about Trump, how much they hate Donald Trump, how terrible Donald Trump is. And Barbie says to her, like, can you tell me what you stand for? And then she starts repeating all of the things that she hates about Donald Trump. And Barbie was basically saying, like, can you talk about what you stand for without being obsessed with Donald Trump? And she couldn't do it. Everything that she stood for was centered around who Donald Trump is and how much they hate him, which, I don't really understand how that materializes into some sort of policy platform when Donald Trump is no longer in office. Here's Jillian Michaels talking to Don Jr.
Your father and your family has built a far bigger and more accepting tent than the left. And I don't think you guys get the credit for that. And I personally want to say thank you. I had a complete misconception about who your dad was going to be in his presidency. And I have to say I was wrong. I'm clearly wrong. I'm married. My family's intact. And no one's threatened it of anything.
You mean you haven't been thrown in the gulags yet, Jillian?
Not
because
yet.
I was told they're going to the gulags.
So there you have Jillian Michaels and Don Jr. talking about how much people have been misled as to who Donald Trump is, what he's going to do when he's the president in his first term and now in his second term. And we're asking you on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll today to grade President Trump's second term so far. Let's get to our guest. Link Lauren joins us once again. Link, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving. So great to have you back on the show.
Hey, Annie. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
You're welcome, of course. We appreciate your time. I wanted to give you the opportunity. You follow, you cover the president. You're at the White House. I love watching your videos pop up where you ask questions Donald Trump loves answering. What's your assessment so far? What people expected when President Trump was campaigning, he gets elected. What kind of grade would you give President Trump so far in his second term?
I definitely give President Trump an A. I think a lot of people forget how bad things were under Joe Biden, right? You had sky-high inflation. You had millions of people pouring through the border, millions of gotaways. We could have tons of sleeper cells here now that we don't even know about. I mean, even Joe Biden, he's the one who flew over these Afghan nationals. And then we look at this horrific tragedy of what happened to Sarah Beckstrom and the other young man is fighting for his life in Washington, D.C., the two young National Guardsmen. That wouldn't have happened with President Trump. So I'm so happy that President Trump is in office right now. Of course, some people say, what about affordability? What about cost of living? Of course, we have to have that conversation every single day. But if you look back to where things were a year ago, they're definitely so much better. And I am an optimistic person. I think they're going to get better.
Yeah, I you know, I do, too. And I think a lot about the economic policies that have been put into place. I hear Treasury Secretary Bessent talking an awful lot about once tax return season gets here is where people are really going to feel their wages go up. They're going to get more of their money back from what they've paid in taxes. So I feel as though the next 6 months are going to be very pivotal as to how people feel about President Trump. But I do notice a lot of from the outside looking in, silly infighting on the Republican side, almost for the sake of just fighting. And I'm wondering if you think, does Donald Trump still have the same level of support now that he had going into his second term? Has it waned at all?
Well, what's interesting is I even saw a poll on CNN with Harry Enten where it showed his support at 87% with the GOP, which is really good. And it's been pretty consistent. So, no, I definitely think President Trump still has support. I think what happens is on X and on social media, things can seem so much louder than they actually are, right? In the podcast sphere and on social media, it can seem like there's so much infighting and everyone's sniping at each other. But then you go out into the real world, it's really not that way, actually, at all. I think the Democrats have much more infighting going on. They can't even figure out who their successor is going to be moving into 2028, and they can't even figure out their policies. So I think things just seem chaotic on the internet, but they're actually not that bad. And I'll also say this. One thing I love about the Republican Party and something that moved me more to the right the last few years, they support the First Amendment. They support free speech. Right? We can have open debates in public, right? You can have Republican senators and congressmen and people in the administration say, hey, I look at it this way. I disagree with you on this, and that's okay. The Democrats, they very seldom like to have these debates out in public. They like to put up a good front and then go fight in private. Republicans will tell you what they think, and I'd much rather be in that party than across the aisle.
Yeah, amen to that. Link Lauren speaking with us right now, former senior advisor to RFK Jr., a political commentator covering at the White House, and a must-listen to podcast, Spot On with Link Lauren. You can also subscribe on YouTube to
Thank you.
As well, of course. You know, you're talking about the left being a little bit disheveled right now. I'm thinking off the top of my head, okay, if there was some sort of maybe new Trump voter in 2024 that was like, okay, I can't deal with what the left is giving me. I'm going to try this out over here on the right. I'm looking at the leaders in the Democrat Party, the de facto leaders, and I guess it's Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, maybe Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries. Not a lot of appeal for somebody looking for a political home, I would say, on what the left has to offer at this point.
Right. I think actually the Democrats, what they could use right now is a populist character. Like Zoran Mamdani was a populist character, but his policies would never translate to a general election. Right.
So right.
They're going to need someone who can tap into sort of the social media online populism in the way that President Trump did starting in 2015 and 16. But someone with policies that can appeal broadly. Right. Because something I've brought up a lot. Kamala Harris had a lot of the same policies as Zora Mamdani. She really did open borders, the funding of transgender procedures for inmates, all of these things Kamala Harris supported as well as part of this sort of Marxist agenda, but she lost the popular vote in every single swing state. So it's sort of resounding. I think if they can find someone who's more populist on the left and run them, they might have a little bit of success, but they have to be very, very moderate. I think the Democrats, a majority of them don't actually feel this way in private, but in public, they sort of have capitulated to this small, vocal, progressive minority. Like, there's no way Chuck Schumer in private supports a lot of these things that AOC is espousing or anything, but they just are so scared to say it because they don't want to turn off their base or they think they need to run again. So if the Democrats could find a moderate, maybe someone who's actually a closet conservative but is populist, I think they could be good.
You know, like an atrophied muscle, I feel like the Democrat Party has, they've had media cover for so long. Like, there's no better battle-ready way to go into a campaign than having the media eating out of the palm of your hand and covering. And, you know, whether it's not necessarily just how you cover a story, but in many cases, it's how, if you choose to cover the story to begin with, that you look at those personalities, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, are you freaking kidding me? Like, how unattractive politically are those two characters? If they haven't had to exercise that muscle of getting out there in front of people and offering people an understanding of why they should be the ones that are chosen, they have to work for it, then you get Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And Tim Walz, man, he's having a rough week.
I mean, I had Tim Walz pegged as a joke on day one. The second he came out on stage for the announcement that he was her vice president, I was like, that is Mr. Jazz Hands right there. He's gesticulating, he's waving, he's jumping around. He's like doing herpes like a cheerleader. But no, Tim Walz has been a joke since day one. What's interesting is, like, the Democrats do get nothing but cover from the media, and they still do largely from the mainstream media. And it's like, President Trump, they might not like his answers, but at least he's getting answers and will take questions all day long. I think he took one day off to be with his grandkids one time, and they said he was sick. He's, something's wrong with him. It's like, oh my God, Kamala Harris went 42 days without an interview. Nobody said a word.
Yeah.
So there is this double standard.
How does that, you know, President Trump has said he's going to rescind all of the executive orders that were done by AutoPen. I wonder how many of those, there's a lot that he's rescinded from what President Biden has done anyway. This is just kind of a blanket way of being like, if it's got the AutoPen, we're going to get rid of that. Do you feel like the Democrat Party is going to shape up by midterms and offer a concise idea? I mean, they still will have the ability in the midterms to just be like, come to our side of the party if you hate Donald Trump.
It's interesting because that sort of Trump derangement syndrome narrative didn't work in the last election, and it hasn't really been successful. Like, in 2024, people were saying, what policies do you have besides we're not Trump, we hate Trump? And Kamala Harris basically ran on, I'm not Trump, right? I'm not Trump and I support abortion. And that wasn't enough to get her over the line, even with, I think, about $2 billion in 107 days. So I do think the Democrats are going to have to come up with much, much, much better messaging than we hate Donald Trump. Because even if there are people, let's say they personally don't agree with Donald Trump on maybe how he speaks or his rhetoric, or they have some issues with him, they might still like his policies and pull the lever for him. People say this all the time. They're like, well, President Trump, some of his likability is down in some of these polls. Okay, well, people still would rather have a secure border and some of those policies than the alternative.
Yeah, certainly. We're speaking with Link Lauren. You can subscribe to his podcast. It's Spot On with Link Lauren. You know, I think about the way that America relates with the Trump family, President Trump, certainly, but there are a lot of very public figures, of course, in the Trump family. And the lies, the fabricated obstacles that have been laid out in front of President Trump since he came down the escalator. I think it was Don Jr. maybe, or maybe it was Eric who said that right before that happened, he looked, he said, now we find out who our real friends are. Certainly they have experienced that. But I do believe that the president is getting a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt. I think that the lies that have been told about Donald Trump, that they are a little stale. I think people are a little callous to them, and they're seeing the economic policies, at least the idea of hope that the president has in an America first mentality. Do you feel as though the country is starting to soften a little bit to the idea of at least being amused by Donald Trump or in his, and enjoying his family?
Well, it's interesting because the more people see of President Trump and the more of these leaders who come and visit him, they realize, oh, he's actually not this boogeyman figure in this caricature he's made out to be by the media for so many years. I mean, world leaders love him. Everybody from the business industry now who wouldn't have even gone near him 5 years ago, they love him. They're all trying to come to the White House and cut a deal for their company or their investment. So it's interesting. Once people actually see him, they go, oh, he's actually not who the Democrats have been making him out to be whatsoever. He's a regular human being who cares about this country. And I think people forget that President Trump grew up in Queens, and then his dream was to sort of conquer Manhattan and real estate. And he's always just sort of chugged along. He's just a normal guy at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah. Incredibly accessible for someone who actually would have a reasonable understanding to not be as accessible to right. the normal common folk like us here in the Midwest, you might say. Yeah, I want to ask you about the ballroom. You have, you know, you're at the White House. You're covering the White House. People are up in arms about it. A lot of them who don't understand at all why the president might be implementing this ballroom. Tell me about your assessment of the destruction there on the White House grounds and what you expect to see in the future.
Well, it's interesting because for years they've had to put up these tents on the grass and people are walking through mud and sludge and the elements, and they have to host world leaders. And these world leaders come here and they go, oh my God, the United States. It's like, are we having a state dinner in a Denny's? Like, what is the dirty tent we're in and what's going on? I love Denny's. But I think it's time we have a ballroom where we can actually host real events and have these people come. And you have to sort of project pomp and circumstance and strength. You can't have some wimpy put up tent when leaders come. I also think it'll be great to generate revenue. They'll be able to host bigger events where people can give money and do things like that. So I think it'll be great to have the ballroom. And it's interesting to see all the pearl clutching. People had no problem with what Bill Clinton was doing in the White House in the 90s and some of the other sort of horrific things that have happened. Cocaine at the White House the last few years. You had topless trans people on the White House lawn. And so for all these Democrats to say it's such a sacred place, it is sacred, but you guys weren't the ones who were respecting it. I think the ballroom will look great, right? I think it'll look amazing.
Yeah. It also will establish a more secure area for the president, the people who are surrounding the president, to be able to be maintained and secured there on the White House grounds, as opposed to having to go across town and shutting down traffic and all of that type of stuff.
Totally. It's like, let's just have the ballroom. Everyone relax. I mean, for me, I think I'm not going to be happy until the White House is gold. I want the beast to be painted gold. I want more gold everywhere. I want the gold ballroom. Like, this is not enough. I think there are a few square inches on the wall in the Oval Office that could put more gold. So, no, I definitely think that we need the ballroom ASAP.
All right. Last question before we let you go. We're speaking with Link Lorne. You can subscribe to his podcast, Spot On with Link Lorne. You're talking about the inside of the Oval Office. We're going to hear the president speaking from the Oval Office here in about 30 minutes. When you walk into that Oval Office and you see what President Trump has done, is it gaudy and do you love it, or is it beautiful? How do you explain to us who haven't been there what it's like to walk into that room?
Annie, you know, I am a recovering theater kid. I am over the top. I love it. For me, more is more is more. Okay. I love it. And you know what? At the end of the day, he's the president. The Democrats who don't like the redecorations at the White House, you know what? Maybe win an election and then you guys can decide what you want to do with the White House renovations. That's sort of the impetus of this whole thing. You guys, maybe if you win an election, you can make some changes to the White House, but you lost. So go circle the wagons. I love it. I think we need more gold. It works for him. Would it work for everybody else? No. But when you look at some of these pictures, it looks so drab. At least there's some life and color in there.
Yeah. I'm just in my mind imagining President J.D. Vance being able to come into the Oval Office and being incredibly conflicted as to whether he removes a little bit of the Donald Trump that is everywhere in that historic room. Link, we appreciate you. Please come back again soon. We love having you.
Thank
we love
you
your insight.
Thank
Take
you
care.
So much, Annie. Merry Christmas. Bye.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye. Link Lorne, it's a must-subscribe-to podcast. If you like political commentary, if you like reaction, if you like the news, I mean, he is in the press pool there at the White House. He is covering everything that is happening with his own special type of way. It's entertaining, but it's informative. A must subscribe to podcast, Spot On with Link Lorne. And we appreciate his time today. All right, let's take a quick break. Like I said, the president is going to be speaking from the Oval Office, as we understand it, at 1 o'clock. Now, they said it was at 1 o'clock. It's never at 1 o'clock when they say it's at 1 o'clock. We were supposed to talk to Link at 1:30, but we're like, President Trump will probably be talking then. We will carry it for you here on 97.1 FM Talk, St. Louis's Fox News radio affiliate. You're in the right place, but you already knew that, of course. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, so the president has been for over an hour now been hosting the cabinet meeting. They've been going around the circle and listening to what each cabinet member has had to say. I think they're pretty close to being done. They're going to need to, because the president needs to get to the Oval Office to make that announcement. That's probably not going to happen at 1:05. We will be here to cover it when it does. But they're going to get to Marco Rubio here.
Let's up ponds and fountains.
Let's, this is Doug Burgum. Marco Rubio is going to be next. Let's listen to what the Secretary of State has to say.
Economically, it's never going to be looking better, just like the White House has never looked better, all because of your vision and leadership. So again, thank you, sir. You've given an incredible Christmas gift to Americans by setting us up for an incredible 250th anniversary.
That's very nice. Thank you, Doug, very much. Marco?
Well, thank you, Mr. President. First of all, this is a very talented team, as you've seen and as you know, because you picked every single one that's on. You deserve tremendous credit for doing that. It's an honor to be in this role. It's also an honor to be involved in and be a witness to what I believe is the most transformational year in American foreign policy since the end of the Second World War, at least. And it's transformational because for the first time in a long time, we have a president who basically puts America at the forefront of every decision we make in our relations with the world. And that may sound weird to people, like, of course you always do. No, that hasn't always been the case until about a year ago. And I think we've all witnessed in our own respective spaces how in every interaction the president has with the world, the goal he has in mind is very simple. Does what you want us to do, or is it going to make us stronger? Is it going to make us richer? Is it going to make us safer? If it is, he's for it. If it's not, he's against it. If something's going to make America weaker or poorer or less safe, the president's going to be against it. And every single thing he has done in our foreign policy has been driven by the American people in mind. And I can go down the list. Why has he focused on mass migration? It's very simple, because no country is safe if you can just walk in without us knowing who you are into your country. We've seen the destruction that that's wreaking, not just in our own country, but the impact that it's having in Europe and in many other parts of the world. You talk about trade deals and the trade situation he's been involved in. People, you know, all this reporting on it. It's very simple. The president views the last 40 years as an era of which American and American workers and American farmers have been ripped off. They've been ripped off, and what he's saying is we want to have trade with the world, but it has to be a trade in which American businesses and American workers and the products they make and what American farmers grow and produce has a fair shot to be sold around the world. On issue after issue, that's been the case. You talk about foreign aid reforms. This is not our money. This is taxpayer money. When the president has said is we're going to do foreign aid, but we're going to do foreign aid for countries that are aligned with the United States and in a way that doesn't waste the taxpayers' money. And Mr. President, you deserve tremendous credit for that. Many of us, the vice president, by the way, I want to acknowledge, has played an extraordinary role in our foreign policy, and he too has been a witness to all of this as it's been occurring, and he's been a big part of it as well. You talk about NATO. The president's not against NATO. He went to NATO and basically said, look, you guys were paying all the money, and he got them to do the 5% commitment, which everybody said was never going to happen. It was impossible. Everything this president does is driven by the American people. Whether you don't have to agree with the actual move, but understand the motivation. The motivation is always you, the American people, and what's good for you, for your family, for the country, and for our economy. But the president is also committed to peace in a way that all of us have seen. He achieved in Gaza, and he does it, by the way, not just because he hates war and he thinks wars are a waste of money and lives, but because he's the only leader in the world that can. No other leader in the world could have pulled off what happened in Gaza. And I can tell you, I can't get into the details. The vice president knows what I'm talking about. That deal doesn't happen without the president's direct interaction with the leaders that were involved in this decision making. And everyone said that deal couldn't hold. And then the president shepherded through the United Nations of all places to get a global coalition of countries to line up behind the peace deal, behind the border peace. And it's still every day is a challenge, but it's been driven personally by the president. It's the reason why we're involved in this whole Ukraine-Russia conflict. That's not our war. It's not the president's war. This war started. It never would have happened if you'd been president. But this war is going on, and the president is trying to end it, not because, listen, we got a million things to focus on in the world as a country, but he's the only leader in the world that can help end it. And that's why, even as we speak to you now, Steve Witkoff is in Moscow, trying to find a way to end this war, to save lives of 8,000-9,000 people, Mr. President, as you want to, are dying every week. More people are dying a week in that war than have died in the entirety of the U.S.'s involvement in Afghanistan or Iraq. Just think about that, how bloody and destructive it is. The president's taken on this issue of Sudan personally, not send out deputies to do it. Again, far away from the United States, because he's the only leader in the world that can bring it about to an end, not to mention all the other peace deals, very dangerous ones like India and Pakistan or Cambodia and Thailand. And so on all these things, Mr. President, I think you deserve tremendous credit for the transformational aspect of our foreign policy. For the first time in probably four decades, the American foreign policy is driven by what is good for America and Americans, whether it makes us safer and stronger and more prosperous. If it is, he's for it. If it doesn't, he's against it. And that sort of clarity is transformational. I close with this, and I know I'm last, so I wanted to be fast, but there was a lot to cover. I do want to say this is the most wonderful and magical time of the year. By that, of course, I'm referring to the college football playoffs. And I just want to say this as a point of personal privilege. If and I'm a Florida Gator, but if the University of Miami gets screwed out of the college football playoffs after going 10-2 and beating Notre Dame, the whole thing should be scrapped, and you're going to have to take over next year.
Oh, man, you got to love that guy, right? You got to love that. That's Senator, not Senator Marco Rubio. That's the one thing he's not doing anymore in Washington, D.C. The most wonderful time of the year, college football, and he is there advocating for the University of Miami that did put a thumping on Notre Dame. It was a close game, but Notre Dame didn't show up for that one. That's his one fault, I guess. I don't know. That's great. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We have Wiggins America next. Ethan is filling in for Ryan again. I think we're going to move that to the 1 o'clock hour. President Trump is supposed to give an address from the Oval Office at 1. That's 10 minutes from right now, and he's still in the cabinet meeting. Yeah, this guy can't hang, right? Give me a break. Grade the president on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. A, B, slash C, D, or F. How do you feel about his second term so far? We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Ethan.
Yo.
You need to this song, you need to say, yo, yo, yo. You need three O's. Yo,
to
yo.
The hip. Hop.
Do you know the song?
Hip-a-dee-hop. Isn't this the one that's like 15 minutes long?
Maybe longer. How long does that stay up there?
Yeah.
14 something. You're spot on. You're the one who put it in.
Yeah.
Did you go back and watch the video yesterday of you being Donald Trump talking about sleuth hacker?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see? So we have a YouTube short on it, but the YouTube short kind of pulls out your hand. You can't. People have to go back and look at the actual video.
It was in there. I thought it was in there.
Your hand just reaches a little bit out of the... It might not have been in the video to begin with because of the way we have the shots up. But you had the hand out and you turned your hand in your head a little bit and you said it was great. Did you see what I saw?
Historically, great.
Yeah. Did you see what I saw?
Yeah, I did.
So in my mind, yesterday Ethan was doing in Sports and Local, he was talking about how apparently amazing our SLU soccer team is.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Some might even say they were great or whatever you said. And he went into Donald Trump, like immediately into the best Donald Trump impersonation we've ever had on the show, except for that one comedian.
I wasn't even trying.
Well, see, that's the question I have for you today. Do you practice it?
No.
I think you do.
I kind of suck at it, I think.
If you don't practice it, then you're just naturally exactly like Donald Trump.
Oh, God. I don't know how I feel about that.
Leader of the free world.
Yeah, I guess so. No.
Not a lot of confidence.
I take with great pride that I have a better Trump impression when I'm just talking normally than when I'm actually trying to sound like Donald Trump. Take great pride in that.
YouTube live chat poll for today is grade President Trump's second term so far. I think the next one's going to be grade Ethan's Trump impersonation.
Well, I'm just going to grade myself and how I think I'm doing at life, and I'm going to give myself an A.
At life. You and Ryan are very similar people.
But I have hair.
Oh, man.
He's not even here.
That's right. This is the time when I can take shots at him.
Low blow. What was it that I was seeing? Somebody was talking about hair. And Ryan talks about this. He wants to have hair. If somebody wants to change something like that about themselves and they can make it happen, shouldn't they just do it? Shouldn't you like not care at all about did you get hair plugs? I don't even know if they're plugs anymore. Like, just do it. If that's what makes you happy, like imagine going through the rest of your life not having something like that done. Because of what other people were going to think about you, you never even considered what you think about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, there's levels to this. If you are doing this, you know, I think sometimes there are levels to the do it if it makes you happy. Because there's a lot of things that you could say that where, you know, it doesn't apply and it doesn't make sense to do it. But in this case, I don't think it. I don't see a huge issue with it personally. I mean, I think a lot of it depends on what's under the surface and the reason behind in which you're doing it. You
know, Theo Vaughn talks about getting hair implants.
Really?
Yeah.
I would love to know what Theo Vaughn thinks about that.
And, well, he got them himself, I think. But, again, with Theo Vaughn, like, everything he says could be complete crap. It's hard to pick out what Theo Vaughn says when he's selling something. Like, the things he says, there's no place that he's not willing to go.
Theo Vaughn, did you know that, have you heard his connection with college football lately?
Yes.
He tried really hard to get a date with Diego Pavia, the quarterback, his mom,
not
the quarterback.
Not with Diego.
No, I had to make sure I put those two together. He tried to get a date with his mom.
Yeah.
Diego Pavia is the favorite for the Heisman right now. So yeah. This is a really big name
quarterback.
High
profile.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got it.
He got a date. I don't think they're dating. I think they're just friends.
We'll see.
Friends.
The president is still in the cabinet meeting. Of course, they go around and take questions. We're going to listen to him speak from the Oval Office as soon as he gets to the Oval Office. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.